Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Ron and Don Show on Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Ron and Don Show. I'm Don and I'm in Studio A, and over in Studio B is Mr. Ronald A. Edwards. Good morning, Mr. Edwards. How are you?
Don, I'm fine. Actually, it's a beautiful day as pertains to clearness and almost not a cloud. Well, the clouds are, you know, way up there at 60, 70,000 feet. A lot of things going on. We were just digesting, you and I, that there was another shooting in downtown Minneapolis. And it looks like they're kind of guarded with regards to what the casualties, let's hope there was no fatalities, but that what the casualties were. You heard it, you didn't see anything, but I saw it at 7 o'clock this morning. Was researching some things, talking in terms of the shooting at the two military bases, Pearl Harbor and Pensacola, Florida. Maybe we'll have a chance to touch on that in the second half of this morning's program. It looks like a pretty dangerous situation, Don, in our beloved country. What's your take?
Yes. Well, no, I got some news. There was some Facebook posts last night about it, and I was kind of interested because I woke up this morning and looked at the Star Tribune and did not see anything, and so I was a little bit concerned. But as usual, you know, you have some people that were downtown with live video showing what was going on.
Oh, my question was the shooting at the military bases. Is this a dangerous sign for us as a nation?
Yeah, and that's very interesting because, you know, there's been a couple shootings. The latest one in that Pensacola, three people were killed and a lot of wounded. And how are these people getting on the base, and what's the problem? I mean, what step is not being taken?
Let us clarify how the individual is on the base. He is a student going to the military program there at Pensacola, under the auspices of the United States Navy. He is a Air Force officer, fighter pilot, in the Saudi Royal Air Force, Don. Oh, yeah, it's a big story. They're really trying to cover it up now because the Trump administration at this point cannot explain how this guy was able to hide, quote-unquote, his disdain for America, if you will. Yeah. The other guy at Pearl, as we like to always call it, Pearl Harbor, 22-year-old petty officer, if you will, who had acquired a real dislike for his instructors and et cetera at Pearl. But both places, particularly Pensacola, difficulty in explaining how this Saudi Air Force officer was not properly vetted and was able to come on base. He had been there for a year and a half. He was involved in a three-year program. Yes, Don. You got it there on your computer, as we as entourage and et cetera. We're at high alert here in the United States right now because of sleeper cells. Oh, and we really don't want to get into that, do we? Sleeper cells that are operating, and there's not been the appropriate vetting, if you will. So, I don't know. And then you have deaths here. Apparently at around 9:40, we will be having a call coming in. Keep our eyes on it with regards to the vigil that was held last night somewhere there in North Minneapolis as pertains to the young lady that was shot and killed on Thanksgiving. You know what I mean? Initially, I didn't think anybody was going to speak on it, but I understand all of our officials and leaders and everything, everybody were there last night. I think it was at Lindale and West Broadway. But that's not where she was shot and killed. She was shot and killed at a house on 26th and James Avenue North. But I guess a lot of discussion about that because it was domestic violence. And I think you and I both have received an inquiry about there are some folks that would like to, you know, express their concern about the domestic violence and the apparent absence, if you will. but it had to be a big one because the city councilman, Mr. Ellison, made it. Cunningham didn't make it. He said he had a previous engagement, whatever that means. But they had a crowd there, and the mother of the deceased spoke very eloquently, if you will. So with these vigils are continuing. K.G. Wilson, remember him? K.G. Wilson was kind of the master of ceremony, if you will, facilitator. And there were many others. Nakiba Levy Pounds, by the way, on this one, indication that they have raised $10,000 for the family, and primarily that money, I assume, will go to the two-year-old child. Would you not think so?
I would hope so, Mr. Edwards, but we've seen several examples, especially during the Jeremiah Clark incident and aftermath, where, you know, a group of churches had to come together, led by Reverend Jerry McAfee, and Barry got by the guy a headstone because the money that was raised was nowhere to be found. So hopefully that
in fact, on that one, you're absolutely correct, because a single individual, as I understand it, was that Lisa Clement, the head of A Mother's Love, actually purchased the headstone. She's the one that bought the headstone. And remember, we talked about it on the air on this program a couple years ago, because I actually went up to Crystal Lake Cemetery, where I have a beloved relative buried, and asked and made inquiry. They not only showed me the written information, but had one of their staff people show me to the burial site. In the case of Jamar Clark. Yes, I mean, we have to be upfront here on the Don and Ron program. Is that it was a Miss Lisa Clemens who actually paid and bought the headstone. And I couldn't understand that, because I remember hearing Kenyon McKnight and other people were talking about how much money they raised. I know they were driving some nice SUVs. But, you know, when I heard that this Miss Clemens had paid for the headstone, I was kind of taken back, because I thought that they had taken care of all that. But you remember, we talked about it on the Ron and Don program a couple of years ago, back in 2015 and early 2016, and then people said we were being toxic. You know, so I don't know what to say. There's so much going on, Ms. Fallon. It's difficult to say. By the way, want to send out respects to Lieutenant Rick Zimmerman of the Minneapolis Police Department's Homicide Unit. He is the head of the unit. Commander Charles Adams, who is the head of the Community Services Group of the MPD, and Mrs. Chalmers, who is the liaison between the city of Minneapolis and the state of Minnesota in dealing with you know, I don't want to call it reparations, but funding for individuals that have tragically lost their life, as in the case of Ms. Grant, if you will. And so I guess there's additional information with regards to her. She has a whole lot more friends, I guess, than anybody suspected. I'm talking about the young mother gunned down on Thanksgiving Eve in front of her two-year-old daughter. So there's just, I tell you, Don, there's just a lot of stuff going on. But again, Armstrong, Nakima Levy Armstrong indicated that they have raised $10,000. And so you take that with the $7,500 that was signed off on Thursday morning here in Minneapolis, almost close to $18,000, and we assume that the majority, of, other than the $7,500 for burial, will go to the baby. You know, wouldn't you think so? Okay.
Yeah, we would hope that would be the case.
That's right. By the way, phone number for anybody that wants to authenticate anything that Ronnie and Donnie are saying, as I said, is 347-426-3904. Again, 347-426-3904. This is the Don and Ron program coming to you from the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul. What else we have, Don? What else we got?
Well, I'm asking callers to call in at that number because you have some folks inquiring about Mohammed Noor to get an update on him. A couple of people that follow the legal process in the Twin Cities. Also, I have some people here, and I'm asking them on the live stream, Mr. Edwards, to go ahead and call into the show and ask you or read whatever questions they have. But they're also mm-hmm. curious about the Minneapolis and St. Paul NAACP and what are they doing as far as addressing these disparities, especially with the Minnesota over $1 billion surplus,
mm-hmm.
which we should have been trained already that the black community will not get a penny of that, and usually what happens. And during government tenure, there was over $1 billion surplus also, and kind of hard to track and see. And if anybody got any money, it was a agency led by a white constituent, a DFL. Example, Emerge in North Minneapolis got plenty of cash to alleviate whatever they're supposed to be alleviating in North Minneapolis and around the community, but we don't see much results. So people have a lot of questions this morning, it looks like, Mr. Edwards, and hopefully we can get some of those folks in. Matter of fact, we have a caller right now, Mr. Edwards. Let me see if our producers
okay.
tell me it's the last number is 4614. You're live on the air. What's your question or comment? And who's calling?
Yes, my name is Karen, and I am calling in regards to the Raven Gant situation.
All right, and what is the nature? What is your inquiry? Go right ahead.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's more a comment that we've got to stop this. We've got to have it stop. And the only way it's going to stop is for us to shed floodlights on what's going on and to raise our voices and hold those that are in positions of trust and public service, hold their feet to the fire. They work for us. And if they are not doing their job, we need to, in essence, fire them, get them out of office and get people into office that are going to work for us. We, the people, are actually the ones in charge, and somehow we have lost track of that. And I long ago learned not to believe, trust mainstream media. They're all parrot talking points. They are a big echo chamber, and I noticed that with this situation as well. If you look at all the different publications, they all said the exact same thing. So I did my own research to find out what is the truth. And this precious young lady found that she was in a bad situation, and she was doing what she could to get out of it. She... Mm-hmm. over 2 years ago, obtained for herself a very good job with a prominent hotel chain here in the Twin Cities area and proved herself to be a very smart, competent woman. And she wasn't looking for handouts. She wasn't crying, I'm a victim. She was working to get herself into a better position, and she did. She was given a promotion and put into the accounting department, where again she was proving herself.
You said the accounting department. She was an accountant. Let me indicate where I'm taken back and a little stunned, because last night at the vigil that they had, the family had conducted a vigil. Her mother, who of course I do not know, but who was a very effective speaker, she thanked the crowd, first of all, last night at the vigil, Don mm-hmm. and caller, and she said the following, and I was a little taken back because I had seen the story written by Juan Labor's Janie of the Minneapolis Star Tribune, which was one of the worst pieces of journalism I've seen, and which they really said nothing about her to giving us a human face, if you will, and accepted just kind of saying she was shot. It was dumped into a story dealing with homicides, a headline that said homicides allegedly on the decline or whatever. Now, her mother, the mother of the deceased, maybe you could help us with this, indicated what you kind of just said, that her daughter, now deceased, at the hands of a violent individual who got apprehended right on the spot by the police, though they were kind of late getting there. But that Raven, as she is identified as her birth name, worked, and I'll stay away from, no, I won't. That she worked for a major hotel downtown.
Correct.
The Marriott Renaissance. That she was an accountant, that was stated by the mother last night to the host gathered there on Lindale and West Broadway, that she had just received a promotion, and I think had become actually the chief accountant, if you will. She also worked a second job at a facility. We will not name that, entertainment center, if you will, in the suburbs. So this young lady had some real value. Am I correct, madam? That means she because the way that the newspaper wrote about her, and the mayor had a press conference a couple of days after her death and never even mentioned her. He mentioned another family that tragically was wiped out by domestic violence here in our city.
Correct.
Will. And the mayor never made any statement about Ms. Grant, if you will. If we had not heard from certain sources, we wouldn't even know that really, you know, she was a victim of a homicide, a brutal murder, shot gunned down in front of her baby, if you will, inside the home after being lured there by the gunman who had taken all of her clothes and the clothes of the baby and then had told her that she could recover the clothing, both her clothing and her baby's clothing, if she came to this house. And fortunately, she tried to get police protection. It didn't work out. But of course, that's being handled by the police. But so, are you also kind of confirming that this young lady was a person of great quality?
Yes, I am. I did not know her personally, but I do know people who worked directly with her. She had a great sense of humor. She was very smart. She took the initiative to try and better her own life. And she did. She got this promotion a little over 2 months ago, and she was currently in the process of training a new hire to work alongside her. So she had proven that she was trustworthy, that she was a person of integrity, or she would not have been, one, kept in this hotel chain, because they are a worldwide major chain, and they have some very strict hiring processes, and she would not have been given this promotion if she was not one who had proven herself worthy. And
let me just cut in if I could. Let me just, because we only have so much more time for it. Her mother last night at the vigil indicated that her daughter, had been with this hotel chain for 3 years. I mean, does that factor with what you're telling us here on Worldwide Radio?
Correct. The people that I know that work directly with her have worked with her for the better part of 2 years. So I knew it was more than two. I did not know exactly, you know, how many months, days, years, whatever, but I knew it was in excess of 2 years. So that shows that the corporation was willing to invest in her. You don't keep your job with a major hotel chain like this unless you're doing your job, which brings me to kind of my next point, circling back to holding those people who are in a position of trust and public service if they're not going to do their job for us, we the people, then we need to give them the boot. We wouldn't keep our jobs if we didn't do it. So we, in essence, need to tell them, you know what? Either you do your job or we're getting you out of there. We need to bring ourselves back to the constitutional republic that we are, to the rule of law. And it's like, people, put down your cell phones, put down your iPads, turn off the Facebook, research for yourself, do your own investigation, think for yourself, read the Constitution. How many people have sat down and read the Constitution? How many have read the Bill of Rights? How many of them know anything about how our government works? And we're letting these bureaucracies lord over us, and that's backwards. They work for us. And if this young lady's name is being slandered or impugned by any, I don't even want to call them news, because it's Pravda. It's actually Pravda what they're doing. And they need to be held accountable. And I'm sorry, after a time, maybe the parents need to file a libel suit against the slander against this precious young lady. You know, we all make choices in our life, some good, some bad, but that was not the bulk of who she was. And she was doing what she could to make her life better for not only herself, but for her daughter. And those within trust and authority did not do their job for her.
Yes, because I understand from extremely reliable sources that she had done everything to get the necessary restraining orders and et cetera, that this individual who was to later murder her in the presence of her child on Thanksgiving had beaten her a number of times. In fact, I do understand that some of her fellow employees were concerned a couple times when she came to work with black eyes and et cetera, and they had done everything. She thought she had some protection that night. I'm quite sure at some particular point the other part of the Minneapolis Police Department will clarify what happened that night as it pertains to this individual. And I'll repeat again how he lured her to that place on 26th and James Avenue North in Minneapolis, and there executed her in the presence of her 2-year-old daughter. I want to thank you for taking the time, because we would have not known a lot of this if of individuals who knew Raven, worked with her. Again, I repeat, for the Star Tribune and that the tabloid yellow page, if you will, that this young lady was a person of great value. And so I want to thank you, madam, whoever you are, for at least taking the time to call the Don and Ron program and kind of give us a real human face on a human individual.
Well, as I said, I feel like her family needs to hold those rag mags liable, because they have slandered, they have impugned the name of a decent human being who was not looking for a handout, who was not crying, I'm a victim. She was doing everything she could to make her life better, not only for herself, but for her daughter, and in essence, for the community. And
right,
we
appreciate, want to thank you, because actually you've lit up the switchboard. People are calling. Want to thank you and appreciate again you standing and giving us a historical perspective of a beautiful human being. Thank you. Take care.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mr.
Wow.
Anderson, do you have another call? Yeah.
Let's call. I'm kind of taken back. Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead, caller. 8856, you're live on the air.
Hey, how you doing? Is this Ron and Don?
Yes, it is. You're live on the program coming to you from the Twin Cities. What can we do for you?
Yeah, how you guys doing this morning? I think you guys do a great job. I'm a public school student advocate, been so for many, many years, and I still do it on my own dime. I think that these institutions have failed us miserably, and it's systemic, not only in the education piece, but we know that there's a lot of issues in our law enforcement agencies throughout the country.
Okay.
And
all right.
One of my points that I wanted to point out is that, I wanted to know if you guys had any new information or an update status on Officer Noor, the Minneapolis police officer that killed the lady in the southwestern neighborhood, and his status where is he at over there in that prison under there, that underground prison or whatnot in Oak.
He's not in the state of Minnesota. But let me try to respond, sir, and we appreciate the call.
And I got one more quick thing, though, Ron. One more quick thing for you. And I think you guys will like this. Have you heard anything else about the Thor construction? And the funding and stuff like that.
Thor construction has gone under. They are through as an organization. The bank is trying to recapture some of the money that was ripped off from the bank here in Minneapolis. They are in court. They've been in court. The media has decided that this all of a sudden it's something they don't want to report. I mean, you're talking about $40 million that really, even though you got a bill.
What about Estes? What about Estes too? Because they heard they jacked up the price for their building reconstruction and new facility. That it was supposed to be, I guess, around $5 million, but it wound up being almost $40+ million or something like that.
They paid $40 million to build that structure that they have there. The $40 million figure, people get it confused, was the amount of money that was allocated to build the so-called world headquarters. That was $40 million. I it's interesting because Mr. Allen and I have not heard anybody indicate to us how much it actually cost to build Estes's funeral home, but it certainly did not require $40 million. I would think more, maybe, I don't know, $9-10 million.
Like what I was thinking myself. And I know the Estes family, and it's nothing personally against them. It's just the tax dollars and stuff that went into play here for both places.
Well, you're on top of your game because
the taxpayers are the ones that are not getting real transparency. And again, like I appreciate you and Ron. And you and Ron and Don that do come on, and try to share some light and take us.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Mr. Edwards. Yep. Edwards and Mr. Allen, the great, fine school teacher that he worked so hard to get and doing such a fabulous job. I think so anyway. Officer Noor, I just wanted to see,
and I will indicate it, and we want to thank you for calling in, sir.
The
situation with Mohammed Nord, he is in a facility outside of the state of Minnesota, allegedly for his own safety. They sent him out west where all the neo-Nazis are. But anyways, the latest information on him was that the judge, who, by the way, maybe was the recipient of a nice piece of money of that $20 million, that particularly that portion that went to one of the facilities here in Minneapolis, the Minneapolis Foundation. But the judge continues to suppress, I use that word, continues to suppress the opening of the case file, particularly dealing with the jurors and et cetera. So I'm beginning to wonder if something fast was pulled and there was maybe a couple of people on the jury who legally and constitutionally, I say this with an affirmed sense of confidence, that maybe they weren't supposed to be on the jury, that they were not naturalized American citizens, if you will. And so I know some of the constitutional lawyers in the Twin Cities, Don, sir, have been raising questions on why the trial judge continues to block the opening of the file and making it available to the general public as it pertains to Nord. His case is under appeal to the Minnesota Court of Appeals, maybe even directly to the Minnesota State Supreme Court. But we will do a little bit more work on that because we've got so many cold cases. We have a young man who is about to be sentenced to 40 years in the penitentiary behind a crime that he allegedly committed when he was 14 years old. And he is clearly not the murderer. And we'll talk about that at some future point in time. But we hope that we help this this caller out. Don, what else do we have?
We have another caller, Mr. Edwards, from the Midwest, our producers say. Caller, you're live on the air. Go ahead.
Good morning. How are you? This is Steve.
Okay. How you doing, sir? What's your question?
Yeah. Well, Mr. Edwards, I had a question for you specifically. Are you no longer with the spokesman recorder? Are you no longer writing, or is there something going on there?
Well, yes, there is. First of all, I continue to write and to be extremely active. Obviously, this program is an illustration of that. I have my worldwide television program, which is heard worldwide, et cetera. But, yes, I was, some arrangements were negotiated between the paper and particularly a individual who is the community editor. And my column was stripped. And so to your question, sir, I no longer am affiliated with the Minnesota Spokesman Recorder. I have no relationship whatsoever. In fact, based on some of the things that I've seen happen, I probably feel more comfortable in not having a relationship anymore. But, yes, I was arrangement, apparently, some money passed hands, if you will, and my column was purged. Yes.
Oh, okay. I do have a question, too, about a gentleman, because when I got online for the Spokesman Recorder, all I saw was, like, Mel Reeves. His name keeps popping up in articles. What do you know about him, or what's your relationship with him?
Well, first of all, I have no relationship with him other than he was suppressing my columns over the last 4 months as part of the plan and the agreement that was reached with certain elements in exchange for, you know, a small pittance, if you will, for the paper. Now, I want to make sure we're talking about Mel Reeves. You're talking about Mel Reeves, the convicted felon. Pedophiler and the individual who went to the penitentiary for a couple of years for raping a vulnerable African-American woman, a member of one of our at that time prestigious churches. This is I don't want to slander anybody per se, though I stand ready to deal with Mel Reeves at any time. Is that the Mel Reeves you're talking about? His name is in the paper, yes.
Well, yeah. The reason I was asking that, too, because I know that at one point there was a Mel Reeves in Florida, I believe. yeah. I'm just wondering if that's
well,
the
Steve,
same.
Well, Steve, you and your guys have really been doing their work. Go ahead. I was just
wondering, is that the same Mel Reeves that you're talking about? With the spokesman reporter.
Yes, the Mel Reeves that grew up on the south side of Minneapolis, the same Mel Reeves that served a couple of years in the state penitentiary for, you know, rape and et cetera. But a man who has been considered, and if you are aware of his activities in Florida, where he really did a friend of his at that time, who thought he was his friend, named Chris Neeson. That is the same Mel Reeves who worked in 2008 for the federal authorities in undermining and spying on those that were protesting the Republican convention here in the Twin Cities. That is the Mel Reeves that that I'm very much aware of as a operative, if you will, who now is controlling the spokesman recorder on behalf of certain right-wing elements here in the Twin Cities.
Oh, okay.
So I think we are talking about the same Mel Reeves, convicted felon, if you will, spent a little over 2 years in the state penitentiary for the sexual, well, the rape, really, of a, at that time, 42, 43-year-old African-American woman, a vulnerable adult, if you will. Actually, it almost destroyed what is left of one of the most powerful churches, black churches in the black community, Zion Baptist Church, because that's where he was praying. And I use the term again, praying on African-American women and et cetera. He got caught, though, by the Department of Human Services, the caseworker for the African-American woman, realized that something was going on. And it was ugly. And it was ugly enough that the man known as Mel Reeves, federal certified confidential informant operating out of Florida, as obviously you and your people, Steve, uncovered. Yeah, that's him. That's him. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, I guess, I don't know, this is kind of a strange question. How did he, you probably don't know this question, but how did he get with the spokesman recorder then? I mean, I'm kind of curious.
He was
positioned
a couple years ago to periodically have a column to begin to justify his credentials as a journalist and would write a column periodically. What other relationships he had that led to him being hired, or in this case appointed, because he was already at the paper. You go back over the last 3-4 years, you will see columns by him. In fact, I had to chastise him, and that's what got me into trouble with regards to the paper about some misinformation he provided in the death of Terrence Franklin 7 years ago, which is supposed to come to trial, which the city is trying to negotiate. He is a piece of work. As I said before, 2008, he was very much involved working for the federal authorities as a certified confidential informant. So that's who he is in the community, and folks are comfortable with it. You know, he go take a look at the paper now, and there he is. He's the community. I think the title is community editor, right?
Yeah.
I know Tyron's looking at his computer over there right now as we're talking. This is what's happened.
Yeah. Now, well, basically, that's all I had. I was just concerned that maybe you had kind of stepped away from your writings or something. So that was basically all I wanted to make sure.
Oh, no,
what
I'm
was
still
going on.
Fully engaged, there were powerful forces that was able. They were able to force my removal. You can believe I did not voluntarily end the importance that I place upon keeping information and knowledge, news, et cetera, flowing. It was one of those hits. Actually, I was supposed to be taken out all the way, including this program, but they're not able to get to Mr. Allen and myself. But, yeah, there are forces here that control the criminal element within the city. Okay.
Yeah.
That's the reason that drugs continue to flow through the city, and the African American the human beings and the women are taken advantage of. It's ugly up here, man. I mean, yeah, this is not a pleasant place to be if you stand up for justice.
Yeah, yeah, I understand. Okay, well, thank you, gentlemen, very much. That's all.
Thank you, sir, and keep your eye on. He's quite an operative.
Okay. I will.
All right. Take care.
Right. Bye-bye.
Yeah, go ahead, Don. We got any other calls coming in? What we got? What do you have any take on this situation? You know Mel Reeves, don't you? I think Don is holding us on another call. Some people probably screaming and hollering. You there, Don? You back with us? Well, I'll just move on. We've had an interesting program already this morning with regards to our information, with regards to a young lady who was shot and killed on Thanksgiving in a home at 2900 in North Minneapolis, if you will. I'm concerned about my associate. I'm trying to look over there. I don't see him. Don, are you back?
Yes, I am back. I'm sorry. I was trying to get people to call in.
We thought maybe you had been kidnapped, man, by Saudi forces. But what do we got? We got any other calls, or where are we at?
Yeah, we have no more calls. Again, that number is 347-426-3904 if you'd like to call in, ask some questions. We're live on the air. But no, Mr. Edwards, that was very interesting, the young lady that called in to explain Ms. Gant's background history as a financial auditor, that place, auditor in the hotel, working in financial services there, and that's a very prestigious position at a hotel, major chain like that. For someone like me that was a front desk manager at one of the major hotels in downtown Minneapolis, a lot of people depend on you to crunch numbers and make sure things look good and are correct on every day, Monday through Sunday.
That's right.
And so she had one whole responsibility, and it's just too bad that the systems put in place or were supposedly put in place did not help her survive this act of domestic violence. Mm-hmm. You know? So.
The question that I was trying to reach you, but you obviously had some other calls there coming in, people calling. I was asking, did you know Mel Reeves? Did you know Mel Reeves?
I knew Mel Reeves. I went to Zion Church for a few Sundays back in 2010 and 2011, and it was kind of creepy.
Oh, this was after he got out of the penitentiary. Yeah, go ahead.
I did not, you know, he would say, come to me and he'd say, yeah, your wife should be on this committee or that committee. And I remember looking at my wife going like, and she's looking at me sideways saying, oh, no, we go to church and go home. And I said, I'm clearly down with that. But, yeah, I've had some not really good relationships with Mel Reeves at UROC, the University of Minnesota facility in North Minneapolis. You can find him there usually Monday through Friday. You know, you used to find him there all the time. Working in the offices in back, not as an employee, but they had a business incubator back there. And
that's right, incubator.
Just some really weird stuff. And, you know, I mean, I would think that there are people qualified to be a community editor. I would think there would be people out there that do not have the documented legal history that could be a community editor, but one thing for certain, the readership is definitely going to drop, and they can't afford that. But again, if you're running a paper here in Minneapolis, St. Paul, a black newspaper, and you're depending to lean on the kit of the nonprofit agencies to survive, you basically have to do what they want you to do. Because if all the nonprofits, not the businesses, but if the nonprofits cut Spokesman Recorder and Insight News off, they wouldn't have a lot of resources going through there. When I say resources, I mean cash flow. And that's just the truth of the matter. We have news agencies that in town that have become nonprofit news agencies so they can take advantage of funding, getting information to the masses, or whatever you have to do to win that grant. And unfortunately, the information is one-sided. It takes one political party, and the Republicans are guilty just as well as the Democrats, both sides of the table, of doing this. And it's a shame because what happens is the Fourth Estate loses its integrity as far as being objective and news and information. You'll never see an article in the Spokesman Reporter or the Insight News talking about the impeachment process and how skewed it is. But you will read an article.
Let me correct you because you're talking to the choir director, if you will. That was where that was the fatal point that pressure was put on to cut my column, because I was doing just that. And there was one impeachment column that was printed. You must have missed it. And that's when word came down that the Spokesman Reporter was not to be involved in any discussion. In fact, I may have to even sue, because there are two additional columns that I had submitted, though I was realizing that that I was getting ready to be cut off talking about impeachment, Don. Yeah, so the impeachment issue was a part of my commitment to the Spokesman Reporter to speak to and address the issue of impeachment, what it meant. In fact, I submitted a piece to the Spokesman Reporter that was suppressed and talked in terms of what the protocol was as the case would move, the impeachment would move into the Senate of the United States. That's when I started getting intel that a move had been made, an order had kind of been given, because there are some in the city of Minneapolis, the mayor, the assistant chief known as Gilson, et cetera, that were not happy with some of the things that we were saying, but we really weren't saying it in the Spokesman, because I knew the Spokesman really couldn't carry the weight of it. We were saying it here on our program here and my worldwide program on MTN, which MTN was a little bit too powerful. But anyways, the issue of impeachment, that was the death knell for me, if you will. But anyways, phone lines may or may not be open. It would be interesting how people got quiet. 347-426-3904. 347-426-3904. We have a caller.
We have another couple of callers.
We have someone now?
Yes. They tell me that this is Mr. M from Minneapolis. You're live on the air. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
As I listen to the program, you know, my head starts spinning like The Exorcist. I mean, I want to get on one thing, but then so many things are hit, and then I'm just outraged at this situation with Mr. Edwards being impeached from the spokesman. I mean, without any community involvement, and, you know, so they're just going to unilaterally impeach them. Who is really our conscious in the Twin Cities? His article is something I look forward to every week. I mean, what's the explanation to this? I mean, is there any explanation for it?
I have none whatsoever. The leadership of the paper, Dillard, Mel Reeves, convicted felon and a federal operative, is the man in the driver's seat. That was a part of the deal that was cut. To provide some financing to an institution that is on life support. I hate to say that, M. Mel Reeves, because he grew up just a couple blocks away from you way back in the day.
I know.
Oh, you know, yeah. Was married to a beautiful young sister and a set. I thought she had a brother named Paul. And we were trying to remember that family's last name. But to your question, no, there was no due process or et cetera. The word came down that the envelope would be delivered and in the process. They started cutting off my columns about 3 months ago. I began to notice, would make inquiry. Ms. Dillard would not accept my call. She, by the way, at that particular point in time, she had two different editors in sequence. In fact, she's had three community editors in 4 months. But I appreciate your observation. Any question you want to ask, I'm prepared to answer it this morning on this program. But no, there was. I have not talked to Ms. Dillard in almost 3 years.
Oh, I well, I'm shocked. You know, I mean, I really, you know, the community supports you, and, you know, there'll be other avenues. If that avenue goes away, other doors will open, because we need the voice, you know, more than ever. I mean, with so many things going on in this community, you know, I did want to say, too, I wanted to commend the young lady that called earlier about, you know, the ineptitude, well, which we've talked about over and over in our political.
Yes,
but some of the things she talked about actually could be, comments could be superimposed on the president. Number 45, which I'm sure that's a jab in your co-host there. I'm sure he's just squirming right now. But
actually,
you know,
I'm not. But go ahead.
If you don't do the job, you need to go. I mean, that's the basic thing. And this is what's happening with him on that level. And, you know, but I just don't understand his pull and his sway. He makes people just turn about face. I'll give you an example. This young lady, rising Republican, who I even was supporting. You know, I don't have any Republican, Democrat. I support the right person. That's who I support. I don't matter about that. But this Nikki Haley, she was moving up, and she said how Trump was just not doing the right thing, and she left. And now she's interviewing. Oh, she loves him. She wants to get back in.
Yeah, you saw that too, didn't you? Yeah.
I saw that, and her head is just, she just turned her about face. And I'm wondering if there actually is a Trumpian disease that maybe even Mr. Allen may have incurred. He may have been infected.
And there's no cure, bro.
I'll hang up and listen. I'd like to debate this with Mr. Allen sometime, but he's been so avoidant.
But let me do this before you cut off, so that people understand that as an African American, you were talking upon matters predicated by facts and truth. The Haley that Ian was talking about is former governor of South Carolina, Nikki Haley, who went into the Trump administration after not being able constitutionally to run for another term. She became ambassador to the United Nations. I think there were a lot of folks there. And, you know, I'm a left-winger, if you will, who thought that she would be a breath of fresh air and et cetera.
Yes.
I've been shocked in the last couple of weeks on how she's come out sounding. And an interview that was just published and shown yesterday, by the interview in 2015. I don't know what it is, but let me just say this to you, Em. If folks were waiting for something to happen to Donald Trump, it's not going to happen in this Congress of the United States. McCormick and them boys who know how to play the game got their game plan together. It's going to be an interesting trial, if you will. But the, you know, on this one, it's not like the House of Representatives. The Republicans control the playing field, and so. But appreciate your observation, sir. And we're getting ready to wrap it up. But thank you, and give us calls and keep us.
I will. And I hope at some point, Mr. Allen can address my concerns about this Trumpian disease that he seems to be infected with.
All right, we'll ask him if he will. All right, thank you. Don, they jump on you guys on the right, but hey, there's nothing you can do because you still are a black American, and we do not carry equal weight as black Americans in either the Republican or the Democrat. It don't make no difference. By the way, didn't they do a job to the just, what, 3 months ago, everybody was all enthusiastic about the African Americans that were a part of the Democratic enclave, if you will, that was going to march into history once again, following in the footsteps of the beloved Barack Obama. Cory Booker, the United States Senator from New Jersey, finally had to admit that they got the shaft. They put them on the slide and slid them right out the door. What was it that we said on this program 4 months ago? Harris, the United States Senator from the beloved state of California, was at the 18, 19, 20 points. She was right up there when they got through with her. She didn't have any money. I mean, what's your take on who do you think is the front runner, Don? Let's have some fun with it in the last couple minutes. Who do you think is the front runner with the Democrats?
It's really hard right now because I've been looking at that whole field since Bloomberg has come into the picture. I think he's scared a lot of them back. I mean, I don't particularly like any one of the masses, but if I was to choose a front runner, it would be between for me, Bloomberg and Klobuchar. I think Klobuchar is going to sneak back in because she's clever. I don't like Elizabeth Warren. Cory Booker, I mean, Ms. Evers, I signed up to work for Cory Booker, Minnesota, okay? I'm Republican. I don't care. I always pick the winners. I haven't been wrong in the last six presidential elections. I don't care if they're Republican or Democrat. I just haven't been wrong. And so, you know, I'm looking at Cory Booker's campaign. Senator Harris was weak on health care. That's why she's out of there, I think. And she didn't and make a statement, but then again, she might sneak up because I was telling some of my in-laws that she'd be a great vice president to Bernie Sanders, you know, as well as Amy Klobuchar. But I definitely
help me with the Klobuchar thing, Don, because I don't see Klobuchar in any respect, shape, form, or fashion, though I guess she could be a vice presidential running mate. But Klobuchar is too far down, if you will. And I don't think she can get around Elizabeth Warren because Elizabeth Warren is showing the anger that Americans have not accepted, quote-unquote, the so-called far left, if you will. But Booker, Cory Booker, said something interesting when he said, we now have more millionaires contesting for the nomination of President of the United States under the banner of the Democratic Party than we do black folks, and he and Harris finally woke up to that. And Harris, not our leadership. And by the way, let me ask you this, because I know a little bit of the history on him. We only got a couple minutes. The guy from South Bend, Indiana, what's your take with him, man?
Who are you talking about? Who?
Buttigieg.
I don't know.
Mayor of South Bend, Indiana, Doc.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even pay no. As you can see, I don't pay no attention to him. I don't think he'll do well. I don't think that his base is going to be that strong, and I don't think America is ready.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a guy that has nothing but zeros behind his popularity with the African Americans. Some of it goes to the death, and maybe we'll deal with it next Saturday. Goes with the police killing of a well-known African-American in South Bend back this past summer, which the media closed down any real kinds of discussion, though CNN made the mistake and carried live last summer a public meeting at a high school there in South Bend about the shooting of the African-American. And Buttigieg was real arrogant, man, with the black folks, but black folks there in South Bend got a long memory. But anyways, we're getting ready to bring it to an end, Don, but we are obligated to begin to analyze the final stretch for the Democratic Party because I think that the Democrats are in a disaster. I mean, I'm a Democrat, but I think they got a problem. And by the way, Joe Biden and his son ain't telling the truth about what happened over there in the Ukraine. Look out now. Look out now, Giuliani. Look out.
Not at all. Yeah.
All right,
I
Don,
agree 100%.
Take us on home, man. My man, James Brown, the most honest man on the scene. God bless him, and he's gone.
Yeah, thanks for listening to the Ron and Don Show. We'll be back next week. Here's Dr. Brown.